Here we go. Kuf Yud Zayin on the base. Shot for Nahar. Dav Kuf Yud Treis, Dav Kuf Yud Ches, Vagusay, Dav Kuf Yud Zayin, Shot for Nahar. Oymer lo, Shom lo Mishnah. One of the smallest Mishnahis in the entire Shas. At least the way it's presented in the Gemara over here. Kuf Yud Zayin. Kuf Yud Zayin. 117 on the base. Shot for Nahar. Oymer lo, Harei, Shalachol of the person has a field, and the field person steals the field. What's the case here? The case, the person is a ganav. He stole someone's property, and then it was flooded. So he can say to the victim, listen, I'm not paying you for the field. Even if I would not have stolen the field, it would have been flooded. It's a natural disaster. It's not my fault. I'm not responsible. And that is the halacha. Along comes the Gemara. Turn about na goizel sode mechaveroi uveshat vanohar. If someone steals a field, if someone So this is a contradiction to the Mishnah. Over here it says that if a person steals a field and it is flooded, indeed the ganav is responsible to replace it. Divrei Rebbe Elazar, v'chachamim oimrim, oimer loy harei shelchol lefanecha, like our Mishnah. Frak the Gemara, b'may kum lefagi. The Gemara says, the answer is, this is a very famous sugya, karko nigzeles, oy ein karko nigzeles. Is it possible to steal property? So this is a machlekes, and the machlekes depends upon how you darsh in the pasuk. Do you darsh in the pasuk klal pratu klal, or do you darsh in ribui miute viribuye? Whenever you have in the Torah, you have this is one of the drushes of the Chazal. So we go like Rabbi Yishmael after davish during karbonis. We say Rabbi Yishmael. We say Yud Gil Midrash Hashem Nidreshvachem Klal Pradu Klal, but there is a dissenting opinion that says it's a different. There is no such thing as a Klal Pradu Klal. There is something called a Ribui Miut and a Ribui, and it has a different set of rules. And here we go. Rabbi Lezer Darash Ribuye Umeyute. Here it goes. Vikichei Shabami. So it says to the person, he's a ganav, he steals, and he denies. The pasuk does not tell us what he denies. He denies he's a ganav. He stole anything. This is a Ribui. Anything, everything and everything. Then it says bepikadoin, or he has in his possession something that is guarding. He was given something to guard. Now that's obviously a movable object. Miet. Then it says kol asher yishav alav l'sheker, and he swears falsely, and it says in the pasuk kol anything. So that is a ribui. So when the sequence of this pasuk, a person is a ganav. And he can be a ganav different ways. He can be a ganav because he actually stole something, or he can be a ganav because he was entrusted to guard something, and then he denies having possession, and he swears falsely. And in the process of explaining, telling us about a ganav, there are three different terms. There is the kichesh, and we do not differentiate. Everything is included. Then it says a pikadoin, that is a very specific type of item which you can move, you can hand over to your friend. And then it says I'll call Dover. It says here, I'll call Asher Yishav Alav L'Sheker, Chazav Riba. That's Riba, Umiyed, V'Riba, Riba HaKol. So the rules are, when you work with this principle, and you have a Ribui, Umiyed, and a Ribui, we marbe everything. And when it says the need, it's only coming to be Mayit, one thing only. What is the lowest thing on the totem pole, and the thing to be Mayit? A star. Why is a star to be Mayit? Because a shtar does not have any intrinsic value. A shtar is just a represents assets. If you don't have the shtar, you can't prove that you're the owner. So if I go to someone's property and I steal a document, a title, that he owns a piece of property, it's almost like a grama. I didn't steal the property. I stole a piece of paper. It happens to be the piece of paper is what is the legal proof that he is the owner of a piece of property. So when we make a drasha, that there's something called geneva, and if a person swears falsely, he's going to be chayiv to bring a carbon, if he confesses, to bring a carbon and to pay a choymesh, and we have a ribui, a miut, and a ribui, we're coming to be marba everything, and we're only going to be mamayit one thing only, and that is shtarois. My rabbi, so therefore we will meet ribui, I call my rabbi, I call mili, my miut, miut, shtarois. We're going to be mayit shtarois. V'rabbanon. That's why it's impossible, according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, it is impossible. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it is possible to steal land. Because in the Sugya, in the Torah, when the Torah tells us what it's possible to steal, the only thing that it tells us you cannot steal, do not follow the rules, are documents. That's the only exception. But everything else is included in the regular rules of theft, including land. The Rabbanon, they take the same exact pasuk, but they darshan it with a different rule. Their rule is klal prat uchlal. The Rabbanon darshan klale uprate. They darshan like that. V'kicheish klal bipikadoin prat oy mikol chazar v'cholal. Klal uprat uchlal iyat don elokein prat. So therefore, we're going to be more. It's limited. A klal prat uchlal excludes more things than a ribui miut viribui. And therefore, ma prad davar hamiteltel, the prad is a davar which is a movable object, the gufoi moment, it itself has value. So too, the only times the laws of Geneva are in effect is only something that is movable and something that has real value, to the exclusion of two things: land, because land is not movable, and shtarois, which only represent assets, but they themselves are not assets. Af kol davar hamitaltel v'gufay mamon yotzu karko ois she'ein mitaltelin yotzu avodim. A third thing we're going to exclude, avodim shehukshu lekarko ois. Not only karko, but even a slave, because a slave is compared to karko. Yotzu shtarois she'alpi she'mitaltelin ein gufan mamon. Okay, so comes out of Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. This is the sugya, famous sugya. If someone wakes you up in the middle of the night and says to you, what do you learn today? We learn the sugya of karko nigzeles oy ein karko nigzeles. A Machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And the Machlokes is dependent on if you hold of Rabbi Yishmoel and darshan klal prad uchlal, or you hold like a different Tana who has a different tradition than Darshan's ribui miut viribui. And the yesod we take out of this Gemara is that a ribui miut viribui is more generous, it's more inclusive, and we exclude less things. Whereas a klal pradu klal is a more exclusive type of drasha. It's more of a exclusive membership. Okay, what would you want to be part of? Which sect of the Jewish people would you want to be part of? Those that darshan klal pradu klal? Eigen dimension. Nervous meint an eigen dimension? You stick to yourself. Or you want to be from the group of people that darshan the ribui, niut viribuye? They're much more open. They're much more generous. Weit. Frag the Gemara. V'chadetanya l'nei b'raisa goes l'sal apara v'shotva nohar chayif l'ham eloi para divir b'liezer v'achacham oimrim oim eloi harei shalcho l'fonecho hosom v'maikom miflegei. The Gemara now is presenting another machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. Here's the case. A person, he steals a piece of land, and on the piece of land happens to be, there's a parah. Right now the Gemara does not yet know that. Right now at this moment the Gemara thinks a person steals a parah. And then along comes a flood, and the flood goes and kills the parah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the person's going to be, Rabbi Eliezer holds, you're going to be a chayif. Rabbi Eliezer before said that you're going to be chayif, and also by the parah you're going to be chayif. Rabbi Eliezer, so they have chayif laham lo parah. Did Rabbi Eliezer? V'achacham oimrim oimer lo harvei shchol fanecha. Hasan b'maykam levki. I'm going to pop a hasan b'maykam ha'skinon. Here's the case. Shagazal sode mechaveru v'hoysa para. You stole a sode, and on the side was a para. Revutza boy was lying on the field. So we have a very, very beautiful lamed story over here called Kinyan Agaf. According to Rabbi Eliezer, can you steal land? The answer is yes. Once you steal the land, automatically you acquire with the land anything that is situated on the land, even the movable items. So the person goes ahead and he steals land. He automatically, by stealing the land, he automatically has stolen the animal that is frolicking about on the land. So if now comes along a flood and kills the para, so the ganav has to pay for the para, because the person who stole the land also stole the para. Oh, I didn't touch the para. Doesn't matter. Did you steal the land? Did you prevent the owner access? Did you do a maisa kinyan? Did you go and dig on the land, do an action to make a possession on the land? Once you have stolen the land, automatically you have stolen with it the para. So if the para dies, you are responsible. But if you look like the chachamim, who hold that it is impossible to steal land, the same way you did not steal the land, you did not steal the para. So if a flood comes and kills the para, according to the chacham, I didn't steal your para. I didn't even steal your land. The meila hare shelcha lefanecha v'shat fanor d'Rabbi Eliezer l'tamei v'rabban l'tamayu. Okay, now we go to the next mission. Agoizeles achaveroi, a person, he steals money from his friend, oy shehilva himenu, or he borrows money, oy shehifkid loy, or something was given to a person to guard, be yishuv, in the comfort of your home, here in Flatbush, in your home. And now you find out, like let's say a person goes and he's someone gives him here, can you do me a toiva? I'm going to Dubai and I have a parakeet. Can you watch it for me while I go to Dubai? Can you watch my parakeet? Can you watch my dog? Can you watch my goldfish for me? I'm going away for 2 weeks. Who's going to feed the goldfish? Fine. I watch the goldfish. And then guess what? Guess what happens? I then go. I get on a plane and I go to Dubai. And I bring with me the goldfish. And I find out where he's staying in the hotel. And I go to him. Shalom Aleichem. The Rebbe Alein is there. And then I go to Dubai and I knock on his door. I find out where he's in the hotel. Knock on the door.
Wait, I'm so which daf?
Daf kuf yud ches omud aleph. I knock on the door. Wow, what are you doing here? I left you in America. What are you doing here? I came to visit. And guess what? Here are your goldfish. Here is the parakeet. Here's the goldfish. So the guy will say, what am I going to do with the goldfish in Dubai? Well, you think I have nothing better to do? I should go schlep it around in a plastic bag? I could schlep it around my goldfish and bring it back to America? What do you have in mind? And my response, listen, you don't want the goldfish? Not my problem. You gave me the goldfish to watch. Here you are in the midbar, in the desert. Here you are. Here's the goldfish. I am no longer responsible. What would you say to that, Shlomi Rabinowitz? Can you now be my triach, the owner of the goldfish, to go bring him the goldfish in the desert? So nachmol the Mishnah, ha'goyzel es chaveroi, oy shehilva himen. We're learning the Mishnah over here. Dafkuf yichatz, oy shehifkid biyishuv, or you give him, or shehifkid loy, or your friend. The Mishnah, dafkuf yichatz omur aleph, the top of the page.
Segmat.
Oy shehifkid biyishuv lo yachzir loy b'midbar. Do not go and deliver the goods in the desert. You're not going to do that. It's not derecher, it's not proper.
Forgive me, Shova, what is that? He borrows?
What are you reading from?
Goy says, Chavaro, Shova.
Oy Shehilvi, he borrows money from him.
Oy Shehivki loy
be. Oy Shehivki loy, period. Or he is a guardian. The person gives him something to watch.
So this is all Be Yishuv. Settled.
In Flatbush. In Flatbush. And now you want to pay him back.
Populated, yeah.
And now you want to go and you want to pay him back. So it's a very big tircha to give a person back a suitcase of money, or to give him back his goldfish that you're watching, or to give him back, let's say you stole from him something, to give it back to him in the desert.
That's the second part of the Mishnah. You're not
allowed to get, because it's not fair to the person to whom you're returning it to, because it's a very big tircha to go give someone back property.
What kind of lashon lo yachzer loy b'midbar? I'm not on the
period. No. That's the next case. Lo yachzer loy b'midbar. Period.
He doesn't have to go back. So what does he do?
So the person that lent him the money says, "Excuse me, sir. Here is not the time and place for you to give me back my money. Please give me back the money back in the United States in Flatbush." It's not their cheretz to go to give someone back the item that you stole in the middle of the desert.
He doesn't have to go into the desert, right?
You know, he brought it to the desert.
It depends on words. You can't guard it in the midbar.
Exactly.
Rashi's blessed. It has nothing to do with, it's not appropriate. It says, the love, mokum shimahu.
Okay, that's what I meant to say. It's not fair. I go, I stole something from my friend. I stole. Now I want to do teshuva. So where is he? Where is my friend? I stole from him a box of Cheerios. I stole from him a chleis, I don't know, a sefer. Where is he? Oh, he happens to be in the desert. So I get on a plane, and I go to the desert, I track him down, and I say, my friend, you know, I'm a ganef, I stole something from you. Here it is. The guy says, you know, don't you realize it's very difficult for me to carry luggage, to go have another sefer, I have very limited storage space, limited luggage. It's not the right place for me now to go. I don't want to accept it back from you now. I refuse to accept it. And the other guy says, I'm giving it to you, and I've done my duty. Here, go take, I'll give you a bowling ball. I go and I steal someone's bowling ball, right? So I go and I track you down in the desert. Here, the bowling ball costs $1,000. How am I going to schlep a bowling ball from the desert back to New York? How? Listen, I don't care. That's not my problem. I'm a ganef. There's a din in the Torah.
Shilva means he lent them or he borrowed?
He borrowed from him. Shehilva, he borrowed from him. And I now come with a suitcase of cash in the desert in a very dangerous place, where there are ganovim all over the place.
Or shehefkudai means that...
The other fellow gave me something to watch.
Right.
And now I want to get rid of it. I want to return it. So I go and I track down the person to my own tour in the desert.
They don't have
them. And the guy, and I say, here, you don't want to take it? That's not my problem. I am in Kaye.
No, he cannot do that. He has to do what he wants.
He cannot do that. If he goes...
And what do you think? I'm a nas lots of the men.
But let's say that's a new case. But let's say Almanas, when he borrows the money... The stealing is not going back on
stealing.
But let's say he's a guardian.
He borrows money. Yeah.
He borrows money, and when he's a guardian or when he borrows the money, he stipulates with the person that gave it to him that if the opportunity arises for me to give you back the money in the desert, I want to be able to pay to be able to do so. I want to be able, if he stipulates, then you can do it. Then you can give him the money, even in a place where it's not guarded.
Who stipulates? Reuben, the
person, the borrower.
Amanas lots of the midbar.
Then I'm going to pay you back in the desert.
He says, going out of the midbar. The midbar.
Almanas lots says, the person who is holding on to this object.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He stipulates with the person that gave it to him that he, if he so wishes, will go out to the desert and give it to him in the desert.
I got it.
Al menas lo tseis bamidbar yachzir, then the law is yachzir loy bamidbar, he is permitted to give it back to him in the desert. V'ramin, we have a stira. What's the stira? It says, milveh mishtalemes b'chol mokim. It says explicitly that if you borrow money from a person, you can pay him back the money anywhere in the entire world.
Yeah.
Our mission says you cannot. If you borrow the money, yeshuv, you cannot go give him a suitcase of cash that's going to be stolen in the desert. But in this price, it says milva mishalemes b'chol mokim. Number two, aveda upi kodoin ein mishtalmin ela b'mekoyman. But in aveda, if you find a lost object,
this is a price, by the way.
Yes, yes.
How come it doesn't say Tanya or something?
I don't know the answer. But it's, I learned very recently in this very wonderful sefer that talks about the history of Torah Shebal Peh.
Yeah.
He talks about the Golshu. He says anything that the Gemara Mes Viriminu, he writes there, is they're all different types of rices. There are different qualities. They're different types. Some of them get the title of the Tanya. Some of them it doesn't say.
Isn't
it just
that the common thing you
it's
see?
It's more common to say the Tanya.
Tanya.
I think when
Tanya
means it's a brayso, the Rabbi Chia.
Yeah.
The Rabbi Chia. Then there are other collections of brayso's that are not from Rabbi Chia, and they don't get that exclusive title.
That's what he
title.
Writes in that sefer. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, but something along those lines.
Okay.
It's a very wonderful sefer. It's right here. It's Moiridika sefer. It's not so long. It tells you everything you need to know about the Gemara. See this? Lashon HaMishnah. The first half is a dictionary.
Yeah.
And then the second half, you see this? The second half explains to you the whole Shalshelis HaDevarim of the writing of the Mishnah and the Gemara.
Wow.
Moridika Seif. Okay, so he talks about that, if it's a Brayso or not.
Vaita. He probably also dresses Yebesh, Chsura, Machsura, probably.
Everything.
Yebeshta, all these things, yeah. This is wow.
It's a history. It's the history of the writing of, you know, a lot of Svarim like this, but this is very short, and very short format, and fills in some details.
And
the Mechilta, it really will start with the Mechilta, the Sifra, and the Sifrei.
Okay.
And then that turned into the Mishnais. And then that, then the Mishnais, they developed into the Amoraim, the Gemara. And then the Rabbanan Savaroi.
Did he talk about that sometimes the Rabbanan sort of inserted their things? Did he talk about that?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I have another Sefer that talks about that.
Yeah.
That's a very good Sefer. That's a very thorough Sefer.
Okay.
Vaita. There are a lot of Svarim like this.
So the minute we have a steel,
Milve, Malve, Milve, Mishalemes, Bechol Mokim. Aveidu upikadoin, Ein, Mishtalmin, Elabim, Mokimon. So we have a steel because we learned in the Mishnah that Milve can be, Milve, we learned in the Mishnah that a Milve cannot be paid Bechol Mokim. Amar Abayi answers. Sachi Kamar. Milve, Nitna, Litva.
By the way, forgive me, when it says Aveidu upikadoin, Ein, Mishtam, Elabim, Mokimon.
That's like the Mishnah. That when it comes to an Aveidu, the Mishnah is not talking about an Aveidu. The Mishnah is still going to be kodoyin, and the kodoyin can only be paid back, and it can be returned to the place where it was taken from.
So, but here it says if he's in the midbar, kodoyin does not have to.
It says in the Mishnah that the kodoyin cannot be given back in the midbar. This is
yeah,
the support
of the Mishnah. Yeah, but for the brisa, it could.
No. The brisa says that the mil of pikodon is only bimikoyman. Bimikoyman means basically yishuv where it was
that's
given.
That's referring to yishuv.
Okay. Now, so Amar Rav Akiva, but we have a contradiction when it comes to the law of a milvah. So the Gemara says like no. It doesn't mean you can pay back. What it means, milve nidna litava b'chol makim. It means you can demand payment. What do we mean nidna litava? Look over here, Rashi. Im yirtze malve diyodai ala halya. In other words, it means like this. It doesn't mean that you, we're answering the contradiction. If you happen to go on vacation to Dubai and happen to meet the lender, in the desert, and the time of the loan is past due, the lender has the right to demand payment right here in the middle of the desert. What are the chances of meeting someone in the middle of the Saudi Arabian desert?
Yeah.
Zero. Okay. But hashkocha pratis, it could happen. Anything could happen. Yeshua sashem keheref ayin.
So he says milva nitzvah.
So the malve. Lender, if the lender happens to meet the borrower in the middle of the desert, and the bar
he could demand it.
And the bar happens to have in his hand a suitcase full of cash. Mm-hmm. The lender can say, Don't you owe me money? Isn't it past due? I demand you pay up the loan right now and here in the desert.
But on the other hand, he has a right to say, don't bring it here in the midbar. The lender.
The
says,
lender.
Like what's learned
right.
From
the
Mishnah.
The lender has the upper hand. The lender
oh,
has
that's
the right
Rashi
to demand.
Says,
but the borrower. But let's say the borrower happens to meet the lender in the desert. And the borrower says, look, I got a suitcase of cash. Can I want to give it to you now and get out of here. You'll save me the tirch of carrying this around. No. If the lender does not want to be paid in the desert, the borrower has no right to force the lender to accept payment.
So
that's the answer to the stira. When the Mishnah says that you cannot pay him back in the desert, that's from the perspective of the borrower. If the borrower wants to get it done with in the desert,
he cannot.
But if the lender happens to meet him, good luck, he meets him in the desert, and the lender wants payment, and the borrower has money here in the middle of the desert.
The of course he has to give it to him. What's
no, maybe he can say, maybe you would argue and say that the borrower can say no. Here is not a place where I pay you back.
You mean he has compassion
on the
lender? I don't want you to schlep the money?
No, the lender doesn't...
Why would you be so concerned you could think that he said, no, I don't want to pay you back because you're in the...
The lender you may think...
Give me the money.
That's exactly what... Because you may think the borrower can say, I never fathomed that I would have to pay you back in the desert. So maybe it's like a loy plug, just like the borrower cannot force the lender to accept... Maybe the lender cannot force the borrower to pay in this location, and the borrower can keep the money until he gets back.
Okay.
So that's how we answer the contradiction.
When it comes to
an aveda, a lost item, and a pikadoin, so who's doing who the favor? This is a very good gemara psychology. When it comes to an aveda, I'm doing you the favor.
Oh, you mean the one who guarded the
guardian, right? And therefore, the lender, even if the lender wants, the borrower has no obligation to pay the lender, even if the owner of the Aveda, the owner of the Pikadon, wants it to be returned to him in the desert, the person who's the guardian of the Aveda and the Pikadon does have no obligation to follow along with what he says.
I got it.
Now we go to the next case.
Why? Because he's really doing the favor. So he has the upper hand.
Correct. Correct. Okay.
That's a
good sign. Let's say Sbabi, now we learned in the mission, but let's say at the time when the loan was extended, or at the time when the loan was extended, or at the time when he took possession of the Pikadoin, he stipulated that in the event I happen to meet you in the desert, I want to pay you back. Then if you make a stipulation, whatever you want to do is good.
So he makes a stipulation when he accepts to guard the thing.
Correct.
Or
he takes the money. He borrows the money.
Borrows the money. So he stipulates that what?
That if I happen to meet you in the desert,
I can
give it back to you.
I got it.
So the Gemara is pshit, of course. If you want to make a stipulation, we have a rule. You can make any stipulation you want. You want to make a stipulation, I'm not going to give it back to you unless you go do you do push-ups. 1,000 push-ups. Okay, make a stipulation. I'm not going to get back to you unless you put on a strimal.
Nee.
I want you to come wear white socks and a strimal during the week, every single day.
Nee.
You can do whatever you want. You want to make conditions? You can make any stipulations. Who is wearing the biggest yarmulke?
But one second, the one who's borrowing can't make. The borrower has the lower, doesn't have the upper hand. How do we make such conditions? The lender can make a condition. I'm only
if he agrees, if when he borrows the money and they make stipulations,
okay.
He agrees.
Okay.
So frek the gemar b'shita. What's the chiddush? Of course, if you want to make a condition, I'm not going to go pay you back unless you put on a red yarmulke, and he agrees. Gzundeit. The gemar says loy tzricha dam lelehavi hay pikadon gabach da anol lemidbar nafikna. I'm going to the desert. Let's say the depositor says, do me a favor, take my object and guard it because I'm going to the desert.
Yeah.
I'm going on vacation. Now here's
so
the condition.
The Amalei Lahavah had become a Gabal here.
Take guard of me.
The Amalei to the desert.
The Amalei Ihu.
I'm not the midwin of Kinder.
And Ihu means, and he, the one that's guarding it, he says, Ano le midbar nami bu'inu le meipak. Now here's the Kiddush.
And I'm
to go out. Ibi'ina,
so
and he says, if I want.
Who says the
borrower, the guardian, le ahad renu lo chosam mehadrin loch. Now what's the chiddush? Look over here in the Rashi, how explains this. V'yashmi'inon tana diavkav deloy tenai gomorhu. Okay, this is a very delicate piece of Gemara which Rashi appears to be struggling to explain what's going on over here. And Rashi is mechadish. If you know this yesod, you can enfa all the Shver Rambams. I'm telling you, all the Shver Kiv Egers, you can answer when you know this yesod. V'atzvei minei tenoyim. There's a tenai gomor, and there's a half-baked tenai. I could just hear Rabbi Sholomi one day giving a share Shabbos morning at 7:30. Knesset, a big day coming to the Mazda. There's a tenai gomor.
Yeah.
A tenai gomor, you can do whatever you want. Then there's something called a half-baked tenai. So, it's what status does it have? Really, it's not a tenai. If a person just makes a statement, and the other fellow doesn't agree, does not disagree, but proceeds to go forward with the transaction, it's a very great question as to, does that mean he accepted upon himself that, yes, I accept the condition. A good case is where you make a condition, and the person says, yes, I accept the condition, and he says he accepts the condition, and they
and you
put,
can come to me in the desert.
And they put the condition in writing, and it's a tenai kofel, hin v'lav, and you fill out all the dots, there's no misunderstanding whatsoever. And then, and this is why people go to court all the time, is there, I assumed there was an understanding that this is how it's going to be. And the other guy says, I never had that understanding. We may have spoken about it, but we never agreed. So now the question was, well, what was the? I know a guy who went, and he agreed to pay out a certain amount of money for a couple of months. Okay, they went to Bezdin, and then the guy he paid out a few of the months, and then he stopped paying the remainder of the months. And why? Because the business. The reason why he agreed to this whole thing was because he was running a business, and he assumed the money would come in, and the business went kaput. So he stopped paying. So
he's not paying. He can't pay.
Whatever. So what he can't pay. So the other guy took him to Beis Din, and he said, when we stipulated, if he went into this business, there's always a risk. It was unconditional. I'm giving this to you. You have to pay me every single month X number of dollars for this number of months. We spoke about what he's doing. He comes along cholam zach, that he's not responsible because the business went bankrupt and that was self assumed, was self understood. We spoke about it. So this guy, maybe he did speak about it. The bottom line is, this guy says it was unconditional, and this guy says no, from the conversation it was self understood that if things don't work out, then I'm not responsible to pay the remaining months.
Don't you have to bring proof?
That basic, self-understood, you know, self-understood. That's exactly, so sometimes Beis Din will say, it is self-understood, and sometimes not. That's why they went to Beis Din. That's why they went to Beis Din. This is what it says in the Halakha Rashi. Rashi over here is telling us.
And he won, the guy who went got
Beis Din made a pshara. They basically won. He won like 90. He won like, I don't know, 75%. Beis Din awarded it to the guy.
To the creditor.
To the creditor. Yeah, 75%. It was unconditional.
And one second, and he never paid him back even after.
He did, right? So Beis Din.
But not right away.
Beis Din Paskin in that particular case that he wins. He won. He won.
Not that he's not 100%. He doesn't have to pay right away when he.
No,
he
does
gets
have
money.
To pay. Okay, let's go back to Rashi.
He does
Rashi,
have to pay, but.
Let's learn the Rashi. Yashminon Tana the Afalgav the Loy Tanai Gomor.
First translate these words, then we'll learn Rashi.
I also want to go out into the desert. If I want.
Who's talking here?
The guardian. The guardian is talking, and he says, "If I want, lehadrinu loch hasam mehadrinu loch. If I want to return you the object there in the desert." I'm gonna do it. So it sounds to me like it's a real Tanai, right? What's the issue? So you have to look in this Rashi. I'm telling you, if you know this Rashi, then you can be a Dayan on the Beis Din Hagadol of Rabbi Shol Liman Shlita. Rashi. I can just see the Beis Din. Shlomo Rabinowitz, Mr. Aaron Rapport, and Yishol Liman, they're sitting there, the Beis Din HaGadol of Eretz Yisrael.
It says Rashi, Ashmina Tana, the Alphagav.
The Ashmina, and over here it says, Nisrashi Tana, the Alphagav, the Loi Tanai Gomor, who?
Why?
The Ha Ibois, he owns Ibois. He didn't say that I will. He didn't say I will do it. If I want to do it, afilu achi kevin the yada the iunami lemidbar nafik. Al karcho, yeah. The answer is
who knows. Afilu achi kevin the yada.
Since the person who owns it, the owner knows that this fellow that he's giving it to is also going on vacation to Dubai.
Nafik. Going,
so the other the iunami lemidbar nafik. Al karcho yikablen. He has no choice but to accept it. Now this Rashi needs more hesber, and many. Quills have been broken and gallons of ink have been spilled trying to be masbir what this Rashi means.
Who says? How do you know?
I have emunah pshuta.
Okay, May.
Vait, now we go to a new Mishnah. Anaya Mishnah, Anaya Sugya, Anaya Unfang, Mitin.
So one second, so how does this answer now that you sing a pshuta?
We ask the Kasha that the last clause of the Mishnah is too simplistic. Along comes the Gemara says.
Well, let's just review very quickly.
The end of the mission was V'im al menas lotzeis bamidbar yachzer loy bamidbar. Those last words of the mission. Say the guardian makes a statement to the owner of the object that I'm going to go to the desert on vacation with you. I'm going to return it to you in the desert. Then. He can force the owner to accept it in the desert.
So he said, Pshita. So it's not a real Tanai.
So the Gemara says, it's not a Tanai, Rashmina, Tana, the Af Al Gav Deloy Tanai Gomor Hu. That's all we need to know for right now. And this is not called, Rashi over here is saying, Andover Nifle Admoid. Is that Tzvei Mine Tanai?
Why is that a real Gomor? Because even though.
So Rashi goes on to explain. Because he said the word Ibois Kama. What does that mean?
What does that mean,
Oh, so go open up the encyclopedias and go tonight when the Magid Mishorim comes to you.
What's the Taich?
Learn with him tonight in the Chaloim. he didn't make an open that I will do a Tanai Rashi Fataychus. Is this is the way it's going to be? A Tanai is when there is a definite plan of action. There is a precise plan of action. When you make a condition and you say, if I want, maybe yeah, maybe no. For some reason, Rashi learns that's not called a real Tanai.
So it's not for sure he's going to go into the Midbar. He says, right. If I go into the Midbar,
right.
I'll give it back to you.
I don't know what this means. This is a very deep thing over here. I don't know. All we have to know for right now, we'll learn Dafi on the Balabatim.
It's all about if. He doesn't say as a
Rashi's
concrete.
Words are that this is, it's not a Tanai Gomer. If there's one thing that we learn tonight, you should never forget, you're a Boris Sid.
So the Chiddush is that it's considered, he has to accept it.
Right. The Gemara is, the Mishnah is teaching you a Chiddush Nifle Ad Me'oid. The whole world is shaking from this Chiddush of the Mishnah. And even if it's not a Tanai Gomor, the owner has no choice but to acquiesce, to accept the situation the way it is. You got it?
Yeah.
But never forget this. There are zwei mini tanoim. There's a Tanai Gomor, and there's a Tanai She'ein Gomor. We just lost one of our members. He jumped off the ship. We wish him well. He disappeared. Shlomo, are you following with me? You didn't say a word the whole night tonight. Or hifkadeto etzli.
No, one second, you left out.
Reuben says to Shimon. Shimon, I want to confess. Tonight is a mazel dekanacht. We're learning now about confession.
I stole from you.
I have three things to say to you. One of the things, either I want to tell you I stole. You probably wonder what happened to the suitcase of cash under your mattress. Guess what? I stole it.
Did you realize
I borrowed from you $1 million? Or you once upon a time gave me a precious object to watch, and all of these three things you totally forgot. You didn't even know that I stole.
Any day, and I don't know.
Now, as far as I'm concerned, I am absolutely certain that I stole from you. I'm absolutely certain that I borrowed money from you. I'm absolutely certain that I was guarding a very expensive item.
You mistranslate. It was Sunny that you lent to me.
Correct. I made a mistake. You lent me money.
No, because I'm
you
not.
Lent me money. Correct.
You lent me money.
I appreciate when you correct me. It's very good to correct me.
You kept an object by me. I should guard it.
I don't have a wife. You don't have a wife, so you need someone to tell you. You're wrong the whole day.
And he says,
if God to Esli the any day, and I do not know im hechazarti. What I do not know is I do not know if I returned it. Im hechazarti loch im lo hechazarti loch. I do not know if I returned it.
The Mishnah, the Gemara, is so so measured.
Precise.
Yeah, very measured. So why couldn't you just said either I gave it back or loy? He has to repeat the word again.
I don't know. It's a sprach. It's a nusach. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, next.
You're asking a very good question. There's certainly soidos of Torah.
So he says, Chayv
the Baal Shem Tov would know what to answer.
So Chayv
L'Shalim,
he asks.
Chayv L'Shalim, I have an obligation. So what is the halacha? So the Tanakhama says, Chayv L'Shalim, if you know for sure that you owe the person money, but you do not know if you have fulfilled your obligation, then the law is you have to pay back the money.
You have to be machna.
According to the Gemara's Maskana, you only have to do this because the law says bidei shamayim. The Gemara's maskana is that according to the law of the land, according to halacha, you're not mechuyev to give back the money. According to halacha, hamaytzi mechaver olav haraya.
But the Mishnah says.
But if you want, when it says in the Mishnah, this is the Gemara's maskana. I'm telling you, foreshadowing.
And if you want to be,
is that if you want to be lotzeis yidei shamayim,
you shouldn't be done.
You should not leave this welt with a guilty conscience. That you've done something that is not correct, you want to have a clean slate in the.
So you should pay.
In the Shemayim, the very Makbid, you know? The very Machmir, a lot of things around. We think it's a walk in the park. We come to heaven. It ain't no walk in the park when we come to heaven. The Medaktik.
Avul
im Amaloy, but let's say this fellow says, you know something? I don't know if I'm a Ganef. I don't remember. I know that I was contemplating robbing you. I know that we were discussing a possibility.
And obviously, the owner also doesn't know.
Exactly.
He doesn't know anything.
The Gemara is going to discuss that. The Gemara is going to say that in a moment. Aval im Omar loy any of that im gizal tzicha im il visani im ifkata esli potim lo shalim itmar. Now we go to about this one of the most famous sugis in Gan Shas. You can't get a more famous sugi than this. Itmar. Monali biyatcha. Ruvain says to Shimon, Shimon, you owe me money. There's a money.
Forgive me, when it says itmar, it means a price again?
According,
it just means we
according to this book, it means yes. I thought not. I always thought until I saw this sefer that when it's a brice, it's itma, it's a detanya, and when it's a memra, it's a lower madrega. They said in the base medrash, it doesn't have the authority.
But now he says itma means a brisa.
He says there, what he says there. You go see. Maybe I'm making a mistake. You know me, that I'm not accurate.
Okay.
Is that there are many different. There are different collections of brisos. Everything is a brisa. Some of them are high level. The brisos are Rabbi Chia. This is Mamish the Spitz. And then there are brisos that are not so. They're brisos, but they're not, they don't have the weight and the authority of the brisos of Rabbi Chia. So when it says itmar, it's not the highest madrega, but it's still a brisa. Every statement is a vague term. What's called a brisa? I don't know. The Tanya is a brisa.
Okay.
Usually, when it says Tanya, it's the brisa of Rabbi Chia.
Yeah.
Itmar. Manli biyatcha. You owe me 100 coins. Vahalo
oimer. Oh, Ruben says it should be owe me among us.
Vahalo. Shimon says it back in response. Eini yoideya.
What does vahalo mean?
Vahalo means the person who you're speaking to.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe yeah. Maybe not. Eini yoideya.
Yeah.
So if you don't know this Gemara, then you cannot learn in the Shia.
Rav Huna
of Rabbi Yehuda's Machlekes, the Helika Tan Amaroyim, the Helika Amaroyim, Rav Huna of Yehuda. What would you do for them to
but
come?
It doesn't have to bring all of a raya, doesn't have to bring a raya.
Let's see. They do. What would you do for them to come to you tonight in the Chaloyim to learn with you tonight?
Next.
What would you give? What would you give?
Okay.
Rav Huna Rav Yehuda. Amri, they say Chayiv. They hold Yechayiv. Why? Bari Veshema. Bari Adif.
Yeah.
Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan Amri, Potter. Why? Bari Veshema. Hamoitzi Mecha Ver Olivaroya.
Yeah.
Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda Amri Chayiv, Bari Veshema, Bari Adif. Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan Amri, Potter. Oike Mimoinda Becheskas Mare. You leave the money where it is. To be moitzi mama mechavera, you need a proof, absolute proof.
Uh-huh.
Just because you say you're certain, so what? Oike mimoyin becheskas mori, and the money stays put. Okay.
So
tonight in the Mishnah, avul imamoloi in yodeya. So now let's go down the Mishnah. Our Mishnah over here says, the guy says, I don't know. The guy says, I don't know if I stole from you.
Right.
I don't
or
know.
Aval
imamalayin yodeim imhil visani potter. Hey, chidami, we're missing you, Rabbi Shol Zev Lobel, are very smart. Because when we
what
read the Mishnah,
says,
when we said this, you asked the question.
Yeah.
What does the other guy say? You see, Rabbi Shol Zev Lobel, he has an analytical mind. It says in the Mishnah, guy says, I don't know, you know, it was the middle of the night and I thought it would be a great thing to rob your house. I don't remember what happened.
Anyway.
We were talking about a loan, I don't remember what happened. So Rabbi Shol Zev Lobel asked the obvious question, well, what does the other guy say?
Yeah.
What does the so-called victim say?
Yeah.
So what's the case of the Mishnah? That's the Mar's Kasha. In case going with the other guy says, I don't know anything. I also don't remember anything. So now the Gemara is now coming to extrapolate. If in the second part of the Mishnah he says, I don't know, I have no claim against you, I don't know what's going on, we have a right to assume that there is a degree of consistency in the Mishnah. And the Reisha, when the guy says, I'm absolutely certain that I robbed your house, but I don't remember if I paid you back.
Right.
So, and now if you're going to be consistent, the other guy says, I also don't remember.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, if that's the case, so what is it now? It's the Elam, the Lokotavale, Reisha, the Lokotavale, Reisha, Nami Lokotavale, and my Chayef. So then what does it say in the Reisha? In the Reisha, it says, a guy says, I want to confess.
Oh,
I robbed your house, but I don't know if I paid you back. Chayef. Why are you Chayef? Why are you Chayef? If the other guy, if the other fellow doesn't know, why are you chayiv?
Right.
Am I chayiv? Ella, the only way to make sense of the Mishnah is to say, Ella, dikotavale. The other guy says, that's right, you robbed my house.
And what about the safe?
And you never paid me back. We don't need the sefer now. We don't need the sefer. Let's go to the reisha now. So it has to be the reisha is going in a case where
that he knows for sure that he owes him.
Bari, and the other guy says Shema. The guy who owns the house
and
says,
and Shimon says, yes, correct. You do.
The owner of the house says, you're Ganef. You're Ganef. You owe me money. And the other guy says, you're right. I did steal.
I don't remember if I paid you.
So what is this in essence? Bari v'shema. One says Bari, one says Shema. One says, I'm certain you owe me money. The other one says,
oh, Shimon does say, not only you stole, but you haven't paid me back yet.
Ruvain, the victim, we now have concluded the first part of the Mishnah must be going where the owner of the victim says, you never paid me back.
Right, I am certain. Right.
And the Ganav says, maybe yeah, so, maybe
so,
no.
So the Allah is,
and the Mishnah says, Yechayiv.
Right.
So that's a proof to who?
It's
a proof to Rav Huna,
Rav Yehuda,
and Rav Yehuda.
Yeah.
Bari v'shema. Who wins?
Bari.
Saraya. Gutani Ella the cover. Gutani said, "What does it and what does the Sefer say?" Am I chayiv Ella the Kotavale? The Kotavale. The Gutani Sefer. It says in the Sefer, and what does the Sefer say? The Sefer says, so both the Reisha and the Sefer. Now in the Reisha, it's not such kasha. In the Reisha, it's not such a kasha, because in the Reisha, this is very, very delicate. Because in the Reisha, once you admit that you stole, it's no longer called, it's a very beautiful Gemara. In the Reisha, if I admit that
it's
I stole.
It's not a Shema anymore.
Right, it's a different type of Shema. I have a suffix that I pay you back.
And he comes along and confirms, no, I want to let you know you haven't paid
right.
me back.
Now in the Seifa, this is a very beautiful Gemara. The Seifa is the real Bari of Shema. Because in the Seifa, the guy says, I don't know if I even borrowed from you.
Right.
I don't know. And the other guy says, you sure did borrow from me. That is.
Oh, you mean you're going to sound the same, also the same thing?
You have
he
no,
says you did.
Yeah, I have no choice. We've got to be consistent.
Right.
So now this is a very beautiful Gemara because this
Gemara. Why Takipata then?
This Gemara illustrates the real Bari v'Shema.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In the Reisha, that's not the real Bari v'Shema.
I got it.
This is a very good question. You test out a boy that's coming into the ninth grade.
Because here, at least he's saying that.
If you really want to see what kind of boy a boy you're learning, you take a boy, you have a Masifta.
I mean,
Shulzev Lobel. And you want to decide, so you take a boy into your yeshiva, and you only want a mitzuyan. You ask him this question. The Sadeh Machloikis, Bari v'Shema, Bari Adiv Machloikis. Now let me ask you, I'm giving you two cases. Which of these two cases is the real Bari v'Shema case? Is it the case of the Reisha of the Mishnah, or the Sefer of the Mishnah? The Reisha, they both agree that he's a Ganef. And the
right.
only question is, did he pay back?
Exactly.
In the Sefer, there's a question, is he even a Ganef to begin with?
Right.
Is he a Ganef to begin with? So the Reisha is not a real case of Bari v'Shema, because the Reisha, since he Vadai stole.
Right, he just doesn't remember
if
he paid back.
You Vadai stole. But I don't, maybe I paid back. That's
right.
not called Shem.
Right.
Shem is more fundamental. I don't even know if I stole.
Right.
That's a Shema.
Right.
They're tzvei mine Shemas. There's a Shema, I Vadai stole, but I have a Shema that I return it. And then there's a Shema. I don't even know if I stole. That's a real Shema.
Yeah.
That's the only real Shema. And what's in the Mishnah? It says in the Mishnah, we're talking to a potter. So you have a raya to the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokir. It says you're potter, right? We're talking to say a potter. It's no, you have a raya. You have a raya to Rav Huna says Yechayiv. It's a kash on Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda hold Chayiv. Amri Chayiv. But Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, Amri Potter. So the Sefer is the real case of Bari v'Shema, and it says beferish like the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Nachman.
One second, if we learned in the Brisa, he says, "Give me money," and he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." Yeah,
money libiyotka. You owe me money, and the other guy, I don't know if I owe you money. So
yeah.
That's the case of Bari v'Shema. Which, according to the maskon of our analysis, the seif of our Mishnah becomes the case of Bari v'Shema. Because
yeah.
in the Sefer, the Nitva says you owe me money,
yeah.
and the Toivea says you owe me money, and the Nitva says maybe I do, maybe I don't. And what is the Paskin?
Yeah.
And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nachman Paskin Potter. So
yeah.
what do you learn? You learn Klar, Bari v'Shema. You don't say Bari Adif.
Right.
You say mamon, you say I'm moitzei mechaveroi.
Right.
So gevaldige raya, this gemara is a very good gemara to learn with someone who's a maschil in Talmud. This real gemara is just the perfect blend. Yeah. Wait, you can't go here, we have to give the answer. Loi, Myriv. Myriv, Torah. Tefillah, and Torah. Which one is a bari, which one is a shema? If you daven, maybe Hashem will answer you, maybe he won't answer you. But if you learn Torah, you'll for sure know something. All right, the clock is out. The batter is at the box. He's saying Shem Alois.